Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
On September 11th, I was 9 years old in third grade.
I've been trying to think about what it was about that day.
Frankly, there was no training for this.
I would wake up in the middle of the night and turn on CNN and just watch news for 2 hours.
Bereft and shell-shocked and not knowing what to do.
And I have dreams about planes, like, chasing me on the sidewalk.
It was a day that's changed, I think, everybody's lives in this country and people across the world.
Maybe in 10 more years, it'll feel much further away then.
All week long, in commemoration of the upcoming 10th anniversary of 9/11, we're talking with and about young people who've come of age since the September 11th attacks. They're the 9/11 generation. You know, after Pearl Harbor, there was a whole generation of Americans who grew up in the shadow of that catastrophic event. The Pearl Harbor generation, changed by that one enormous, tragic, incredibly significant day. There was a before and after the attack on December 7th of 1941. And now we have a generation of Americans growing up after the attack on September 11th. We can only assume they, too, will lead different lives because of that event, that they'll view the world differently. But how? That's what we're talking about this week, and we're joined by Dr. Nasser Ghami. Dr. Ghami is a professor of psychiatry and director of the Mood Disorders Program at Tufts Medical Center, author of a new book called A First-Rate Madness, Leadership and Mental Illness. Are going to be some of the sounds that you've heard, and you just heard, from young people who are reporters with Radio Rookies. They're from our co-producer, WNYC. Radio Rookies has its own series on Generation 9/11 that will air through this Friday. Dr. Nasser Ghami, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Celeste. Good morning. Nice to be with you.
It's nice to have you. How does this comparison stand up, this comparison of a generation that's changed by 9/11 the same way that the Pearl Harbor generation was changed?
Well, I think it's a good analogy. The key, in my opinion, was that the people who were children when 9/11 happened, say between 8 and 12 years old, grew up to become soldiers who actually fought in the wars that grew out of 9/11, and they're still fighting those wars. And that's a generation that has experienced nothing but terrorism and war in a quite different way than those of us who grew up earlier in that time.
And how does that change one? I mean, the reason that the Pearl Harbor comparison comes up, of course, is because it's an attack on our nation, which obviously has not happened by an outside source very often in America's history. What difference does that make, as opposed to someone who may have traveled overseas to Vietnam, for example, to fight there?
Right. Well, that's both of these are attacks on our nation. A slight difference is that the Pearl Harbor response didn't outlast the childhood of children who might have experienced that, whereas the children of 9/11 have grown up to become the adult soldiers of the 9/11 wars. But I think a big aspect is that the children, of course, are somewhat more sensitive and susceptible to fear and anxiety than adults are. So when 9/11 happened, for instance, it had to be managed in the school systems of the U.S. and by parents in a way that children could understand what would happen, had happened. But at the same time, their fear needed to be managed in some way by the adults. And that's very difficult to do. My sense is that this generation has grown up feeling that the world is a very scary and dangerous place consisting of basically good people and evil people and nothing much in between.
We're speaking with Dr. Nasser Ghami. He's a professor of psychiatry, director of the Mood Disorders Program at Tufts Medical Center. Doctor, I want to play for you this clip from one radio rookie, Jillian Suarez. Take a listen.
I'm not comfortable. I don't know why. I'm just not comfortable. I actually get mad when someone tries to talk to me. I'd rather just hang out with my friends, walk around in the city, shopping, movies, going out to eat, dancing. You get the idea. I don't think anyone would really get it, what it means to lose your dad in a terrorist attack. And then to be reminded of it every 5 seconds, especially the news, pretty much every year, I get so annoyed.
That's Jillian Suarez, 18 now. She's part of WNYC's Radio Rookies. WNYC, obviously, our co-producer, and Radio Rookies trains teens to curate radio stories. But, I mean, how common is this? It seems like adults my age, our age, are fascinated by 9/11 in ways where we talk about it constantly, as you heard her mention there. And yet she's saying that in her generation, they don't want to talk about it.
Right. Well, I think it's for them, it goes deeper. It's more of an emotional experience than it might have been for many of us who were adults at the time. You know, studies that were done in the New York City area indicated that about 7% or so, a little less than 10% of the entire population had post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms after 9/11. This had gone down to less than 1% by 6 months, so you could see how the recovery happened. But in the immediate phase, it was pretty high, and I think it would be higher among, obviously, those who were there in Lower Manhattan and observed what happened, and higher still among the children who observed it and lasting longer for them. So I think it's, there's a reflection here of any kind of trauma, that people will have anxiety and depression, they'll be emotional about it, and they try not to remember it rather than remember it.
And I think it goes deeper in a number of sometimes subtle ways. I mean, for example, my son was only 3 at the time, but I broke down on September 11th. I mean, I think that probably was the first time he'd ever seen me cry. And I imagine that's the experience that a lot of young people had, that they are viewing the world now through what they saw their parents go through.
Right. And I think that's another important aspect of this, which is how did the adults of 9/11 help or not help the children of 9/11. My sense is that there was a rather large failure of leadership in the immediate aftermath of 9/11 and in the years after, in which our political leadership, the Bush administration, for instance, the best it came up with was that people should go shopping. And I think many of us as adults didn't know how to describe what was going on, because it was new for us too. And you know, we dealt with it as normal people as best as we can, but I don't think we actually had the leadership in place for a crisis like that, both for the children and for the rest of the country to know how to cope.
We're speaking with Dr. Nasser Ghami. He's a professor of psychiatry and director of the Mood Disorders Program at Tufts Medical Center. He's author of a new book called A First-Rate Madness, Leadership and Mental Illness. Doctor, I want to play for you one other clip. This is also from a radio rookie named Aaron. Take a listen.
Toward the end of high school, I started spending all my time in the art studio. I would mix paint and glue and make a rib cage or a heart. My art teacher called it morose. I liked the gross and dirty colors. It made me feel human after years of feeling nothing.
Does that seem like a healthy, does turning that into what her art teacher called morose, gross or dirty art, is that a relatively healthy reaction for a teen?
Well, I think it reflects some of the post-traumatic stress-related depression and maybe anxiety that person had. The longer it goes on, the less healthy it is to experience, but to talk about it or to draw about it, and children more often will draw about things than talk about things, is a healthy thing, especially in children. It's sort of like going into your psychotherapist office and talking on and on and on about how sad you are. That doesn't get rid of your sadness, but it's better than not engaging with it. At least you know how you feel. And it's something you can then potentially interact with your therapist or with a professional about.
It's good advice. Talk about it. Get it out there somehow. Dr. Nasser Ghami, director of the Mood Disorders Program at Tufts Medical Center, author of the new book, A First-Rate Madness, Leadership and Mental Illness. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Give us your own story of remembering 9/11.
This is Amy Parker from Berkeley, Michigan. My daughter, America Parker, was born September 24th, 2001. Her name is America, and we've been at war her whole life.
That's one listener response that we remember that particular response. What's your story? Use the Takeaway iPhone app. Send us your photos, your video, your audio. You can always just call us as well. You can get more details at our website, thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headley. John Hockenberry is out for a few more days. This is The Takeaway. We'll be right back.